Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 86, titled Arjuna Kidnaps Subhadra, verses 1 through 8. And we are going to recite the first verse. Translation and purport. Translation. King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, we would like to learn how Arjuna married Lord Balaram's and Lord Krishna's sister, who was my grandmother. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj turns now to the topic of the marriage of Lord Krishna's sister, Subhadra. In the opinion of Srila Sridhar Swami, King Parikshit's question here follows from the previous narration, because Arjuna's winning the hand of Subhadra was just as difficult a feat as Lord Krishna's retrieving the sons of Devaki from the realm of the dead, since Lord Balaram himself opposed Subhadra's marriage to Arjuna. So we'll go on to till text 8, and I'll just read the translations from 3 through 8. Shukadev Goswami said, while travelling far and wide, visiting various holy places of pilgrimage, Arjuna came to Prabhas. There he heard that Lord Balaram intended to give his maternal cousin Subhadra to Duryodhana in marriage, and that no one else approved of this plan. Arjuna wanted to marry her himself, so he disguised himself as a renunciant, complete with triple staff, and went to Dwarka. Purport. Arjuna's plan for obtaining Subhadra as his wife may have seemed unconventional, but he was not acting without encouragement. In fact, Lord Krishna was his prime co-conspirator, and in Dwarka, most of the members of the royal family, especially Vasudev, were unhappy about giving their favorite daughter to Duryodhana. He stayed there during the monsoon months to fulfill his purpose. Lord Balaram and the other residents of the city, not recognizing him, offered him all honor and hospitality. One day, Lord Balaram brought him to his home as his invited dinner guest. And Arjuna ate the food the Lord respectfully offered him. Purport. From the explanation of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it is understood that Arjuna in his sannyasi role had just finished the 4-month vows of the rainy season and could now again accept general invitations from householders. Thus no one would have suspected any unusual motive in his visiting Lord Balaram at this time. Text 6. There he saw the wonderful maiden Subhadra, who was enchanting to heroes. His eyes opened wide with delight, and his mind became agitated and absorbed in thoughts of her. Text 7. Arjuna was very attractive to women, and as soon as Subhadra saw him, she wanted to have him as her husband. Smiling bashfully with sidelong glances, she fixed her heart and eyes upon him. Purport. As soon as she saw him, Subhadra knew that Arjuna was no sannyasi, but rather her destined consort. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Arjuna, the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit, was himself extraordinarily beautiful, and his bodily structure was very attractive to Subhadra. Subhadra also decided within her mind that she would accept only Arjuna as her husband. As a simple girl, she was smiling with great pleasure looking at Arjuna. Text 8. Meditating only on her and waiting for the opportunity to take her away, Arjuna had no peace. His heart trembled with passionate desire. purport. Even while being honored by Lord Balaram, Arjuna was too distracted to appreciate the Lord's gracious hospitality. Arjuna's distraction and Lord Balaram's failure to recognize Arjuna in his disguise were both arrangements of the Supreme Lord to enjoy his transcendental pastimes. Om Jnanati Miram Dasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuram Neelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadam Arhyam Tadati Svahadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sādhyaitam Sāvadhūtam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vādām Sahakanda Lalita Shri Vishakhanditām Shri Namaham Vishnu Pādāya Krishna Prishthāya Bhūtale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Yati Nāmini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Tracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. An interesting episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam where it appears that Arjuna and Subhadra are just like ordinary men and women of this world. But as has been clarified in the purport, and as we know from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the activities of the Lord and His pure devotees are not to be considered mundane in any respect. For example, Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela is considered by those ignorant of devotional principles as being the affairs of ordinary men and women. But nothing could be further than the truth. The truth of the matter is that Lord Krishna is always completely transcendentally situated. And the gopis who danced with him in the Rasa Leela were also on the transcendental platform. Their bodies were completely spiritual as well. The relationship between the gopis and Krishna, and therefore their Rasa Leela also, were completely on the transcendental platform. But because people do not have the proper understanding of these spiritual truths, they superimpose their experiences and ideas of what happens in the material world between men and women upon the pastimes of the Lord with His pure devotees. And so they consider the Rasa Leela to be the ordinary dealings of men and women in this world, and therefore they criticize Krishna for the Rasa Leela, not understanding that Krishna acts out of His internal pleasure potency, which is completely spiritual. Similarly, the activities of Lord Krishna's eternal associates and expansions are also in the same category of transcendence. They are not to be considered mundane affairs of this world. Subhadra Devi appears in Dwarka as the sister of Krishna. She is actually an expansion of Lakshmi Devi, who in turn is ultimately an expansion of Srimati Radharani. But in this pastime, she appears in Dwarka as a sister. It is explained in the Mahabharata as well that Subhadra Devi was the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki. Krishna was also the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And there was another brother who was still alive. His name was Sharana. The first six children of Devaki were killed by Kamsa, as we all know. And then there were these three. Vasudeva and Devaki had these three children, Krishna, Sharana, who was his brother, and Subhadra. So Subhadra Devi was in the Dwarka Leela. She didn't appear in the Vrindavan Leela because she was born to Devaki and Vasudeva. So being Krishna's sister, being an expansion of the goddess of fortune, definitely she is not an ordinary mundane lady of this world. She is completely transcendental. She is an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. Wherever Krishna appears in the material world, in whichever universe, Arjuna also accompanies him. And this is something that Srila Prabhupada states, that therefore Arjuna is eternally associating with Krishna in the material world. Because in the material world, which is constantly created, maintained and destroyed, there are innumerable universes. And Krishna and Arjuna appear in each and every universe, one after the other. So, this so-called attraction between, or this actual attraction between Arjuna and Subhadra was not an ordinary, mundane thing that was born out of the modes of material nature. When ordinary men and women in this world become attracted to each other, it is usually within the realm of the three modes of material nature, usually the modes of passion, sometimes ignorance. But this is a completely transcendental dealing. And similarly, the fact that Arjuna was not even recognized by Balaram in his disguise as a sannyasi, and Balaram is the Supreme Lord himself, is also an action that is under the influence of the spiritual potency, specifically the Leela Shakti of the Lord, to nourish the mellow or the rasa of the Lord's pastimes. It is explained in the Mahabharata that when Arjuna, in the course of his pilgrimage, came to Prabhas Kshetra, and this part is mentioned earlier on in the Bhagavatam here, he met Gada, one of the members of the Yadu dynasty. And in the course of the conversation, Gada mentioned to Arjuna about Subhadra and described her beauty. Upon hearing of this, Arjuna was thinking about her and set his mind upon marrying Subhadra. Therefore, he decided to change into the dress of a renunciant, of a sannyasi. And as is said here in the Bhagavatam, he was carrying his danda as well. So he dressed as a tridandi sannyasi. And he started intensely thinking about Krishna because he wanted to get some help from Krishna to fulfill his objective. Krishna was, after all, his dear friend. And Krishna was also the brother of Subhadra. Now, Krishna was in Dwarka at that time with Satyabhama. And he immediately understood that Arjuna was thinking of him. And Krishna smiled. So when Krishna smiled like that, Satyabhama, who was sitting with him, asked him, "Why are you suddenly smiling like that? What's happened?" So then Krishna said, "Arjuna is thinking of me. So I have to go and see him." So then Krishna left his palace, he left Satyabhama, and went outside to the Raivatam, or nearby where Arjuna was. And he said, "Arjuna, what's the matter? You've been thinking of me." So Arjuna said, "I have something very important to tell you." So then they went to the Raivata mountain. And there Arjuna revealed his mind to Krishna. He said, "Krishna, I want to marry your sister Subhadra." So Krishna was also happy with the plan, because Arjuna is Krishna's dear devotee. And he couldn't see of a better husband for his sister. So the older brothers are like the father also. they also have the responsibility to see that the lady gets married to a proper husband. So he said, yes, this is the right match. Actually, this was all Krishna's plan, because Krishna, from the beginning, wanted Arjuna to get married to Subhadra. Now, there was a slight complication here. The complication was that Balaram wanted his sister, stepsister, Subhadra, to get married to Duryodhana. This was a problem. But Krishna secretly wanted Arjuna to get married to Subhadra. So then he worked out this whole plan. And he told Arjuna that actually among Kshatriyas, the tradition is to have the Swayamvara. Swayam means self, vara means a husband or a bridegroom. So Swayamvara indicates that the Kshatriya princess would select for herself her husband depending on whom she loved. But Krishna said to Arjuna, how do we know who Subhadra loves? Therefore, it seems that you will have to forcibly abduct her, as Kshatriyas are allowed to do, in the Rakshasa style. Now, just to give a background, the Vedic scriptures say that there are 8 types of marriages. 4 of them are considered good, and they all involve the father handing over the daughter to a qualified husband. And there are different ways in which that is done. Sometimes it's given to a priest and so on. So they are named differently. And then he may do it with different conditions and in different situations. So therefore we have these 4 types of approved marriages, where the elders, particularly the father, hands over the girl to the bridegroom. There are 2 other methods which are approved for Kshatriyas, not for others. One of them is called the Gandharva wedding, where the princess and the prince, they fall in love with each other and decide to get married. The second type of approved marriage for Kshatriyas is called the Rakshasa marriage, where the prince forcibly abducts the princess and lifts her off. Of course, she also wants to get married to him, but there's opposition. So therefore, and there's competition too. So then he forcibly abducts her. And this was very common. Can you give some examples of this kind of marriage in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam?
Or anywhere in Vedic
history. Krishna kidnaps Ambika, Ambalika.
That's right. Bhishma also kidnaps Amba, Ambalika and Ambika. For whom?
His brother.
For his brother, whose name was? Vichitravirya. He didn't do it for himself, of course. Then what else?
Krishna and Rukmini.
Krishna and Rukmini. That's it. He kidnapped Rukmini Devi himself. And although her brother, Rukmi, wanted her to get married to Shishupal, who was his friend. And Rukmini didn't want that. She wanted to get married to Krishna. From her younger days, ever since she was a young girl, she had been hearing in the court of her father, King Bhishma, the glories of Krishna being sung by various saintly persons who happened to come to the court. So she had set her mind on marrying Krishna. But Rukmi was very forceful, and there was not much she could do about it, since her father Bhishma also somehow reluctantly went along with Rukmi's idea. So then she sent a letter to Krishna saying, please come and rescue me. I want to marry you. I don't want to marry Shishupal. So Krishna got the letter and rushed. Meanwhile, Balaram understood what had happened and he followed it with an army. Then Krishna went to Kaundinyapur, the place where Rukmini was residing. And as she was going to the temple, just as a preparatory ritual before the wedding to Shishupal, he came on his horse And in the most chivalrous manner, he lifted her off her feet and put her on the horse in the chariot and raced away in front of all the other princes who were standing there. And then they all chased Krishna, and then Krishna, of course, defeated everybody. And then Balaram came with his army in the meanwhile, and there was a big battle that took place. Even in recent times, by recent time in the last few centuries, in Rajasthan there was a famous famous abduction of Samyukta by Prithviraj Chauhan. We learnt of this in our history when we were in school. So that was famous. As a king, as a kshatriya, that was permitted. Of course, nowadays in this day and age, who are the kshatriyas? And so one doesn't try to imitate that. It would be against the law. You want to forcefully do something against anyone. So anyway, Krishna therefore said to Arjuna, by the way, so these are the two types of marriages possible for kshatriyas. There's another type of marriage that's recommended, that's okay for Vaishyas, where they offer some amount of wealth or something in exchange for the bride. And the last type is called Vaishachya wedding, where the lady is asleep or mentally insane or intoxicated, and then she's married off. So that is most condemned in the scriptures. So these are the different types of weddings. So social structures were very well defined in those days. So Krishna was now, actually he recommended to Arjuna, you should do it by the Rakshasa method. Meaning you should forcibly abduct my sister Subhadra. Why was Krishna doing that? Because he knew that Balaram was opposed to it. And this was the only way that it could be done. So Arjuna remained there on Raivata mountain, meditating on how this plan could be executed. Meanwhile, some of the members of the Yadu dynasty, including Balaram, happened to come to the Raivata mountain for some purpose. And they saw the sannyasi, and they came and offered their respects to him. And Arjuna then sat there on the rock, with all of them sitting around him as if he was a sannyasi. And he spoke to them of many, many good instructions from the scriptures and narrated many Puranic stories. And they were very impressed by him, and they wanted to have his association, so they requested him to come to Dwarka and partake of their hospitality. So then Arjuna, who was dressed as a sannyasi, agreed, and it was decided by Balaram that Subhadra would serve him. Sorry, she would cook for him, and Arjuna was only too happy. And then the prasadam would come every day, and the Mahabharata explains that then Subhadra and Arjuna would see each other, and Subhadra understood that this was not a sannyasi, that this is Arjuna. She had also heard the glories of Arjuna, and she in her heart also had wanted to marry Arjuna. And then one day, of course, as we haven't come to that point, now we have come to the point in the narration where Arjuna is meditating on Subhadra and waiting for the opportunity to take her away. And Arjuna had no peace of mind. So he's acting just like an ordinary kshatriya in this world. Of course, we see all these pastimes going on because Krishna and Arjuna are playing the role of kshatriyas. Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra is within the Varnashrama system, which in turn is within the three modes of material nature. The Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness, the Kshatriyas in the mode of passion, the Vaishyas in the modes of mixed modes of passion and ignorance. The Shudras are in the mode of ignorance. So even the Brahmanas are in the three modes of nature. Krishna and his eternal associates are forever beyond the three modes of material nature. So from that point of view, they are never really speaking Kshatriyas or Brahmanas or anything. But when they appear in the world, they act as if they are Brahmanas or Kshatriyas or whatever. They act as if they are within the three modes. Therefore, here too, Arjuna and Krishna both are acting as if they are Kshatriyas. They conduct themselves according to the codes of conduct that are permissible for Kshatriyas. And then Arjuna lifts away Subhadra and takes her away, and she is of course happy that Arjuna is doing that. Now, a word of caution here, that one should not imitate Arjuna by donning a sannyasi robe with the idea that one will adopt somebody, some girl, and then marry her, because Arjuna is a transcendental, eternal associate of Krishna. He can do that. But if anybody other than that does it, it will cause a great disturbance. Even Arjuna's doing it did cause a disturbance, but because it was personally desired by Krishna, therefore the matter was all right. Balram eventually became infuriated, but Krishna and the other, some other members of the Yadu dynasty, pacified him, so that he became all right, and later enthusiastically he also participated and assisted and blessed the wedding of Subhadra and Arjuna. But we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Indra one time took on the guise of a sannyasi. That was when Prithu Maharaj was doing his 100th horse sacrifice. He had completed 99 sacrifices. And Prithu Maharaj is about to begin his 100th sacrifice, which would entitle him now to become Indra in the future, or to become a big demigod. And even though the demigods are devotees of the Lord, sometimes they become overwhelmed by materialistic considerations. And they become very anxious to maintain their positions and their enjoyment in the heavenly planets. So they feel threatened sometimes when people on the earth, whether they are kings or sages, perform too many austerities or perform yajnas like the Ashwamedha yajna beyond a certain number. So Indra didn't want Prithu Maharaj to complete his 100th Ashwamedha yajna, the horse sacrifice. So he appeared and stole the sacrificial horse. And Prithu Maharaj's son chased him, not knowing him to be Indra. And Indra, of course, then left the horse and fled. And Prithu's son captured the horse and brought him back. And therefore he got the name Vijitashva, one who conquered the horse. Now, Indra at this time had disguised himself as a sannyasi. And in the later sessions also he did the same. And Srila Prabhupada comments, as do the other acharyas, that this was something that was very, very, not recommended at all. In fact, it had ramifications for many, many years to come. It set the tone, it set the precedent for people to wrongly don the dress of a renunciate or a sannyasi and do things that were not appropriate for that position. So Indra had falsely dressed himself as a sannyasi, and it created havoc. Because after that, other people started following in his footsteps. They also started donning renunciant's robes for fulfilling certain ulterior motives or certain illegitimate material desires. So such a thing can cause havoc in the world. It makes people lose faith in Krishna and in Dharma. I'm reminded of one story which I often narrate, that there was one time a wealthy man who was about to go to a holy place. And as he went there on horseback, he was carrying a lot of wealth to go and offer to the temple on top of a hill, which is where the holy place was located. And on the way he saw one mendicant. So he got down from his horse to give something in charity to that mendicant. The mendicant was actually not really a mendicant. He was a thief disguised as a mendicant. So as soon as the wealthy man descended from the horse, the mendicant suddenly got up, jumped onto the horse and galloped away with the horse. And there was a lot of money on the horse. And the wealthy man who had descended from the horse, he was left standing, surprised. And he looked on aghast to see this man running away with his horse and his money. And then he called out to the mendicant and he said, "Wait, wait. You can take away the money, you can take away the horse. But I have only one request of you, that if at all you have to steal, please don't do it in the guise of a sannyasi, or the guise of a mendicant, or a renunciate. Because people will lose faith in holy people. They will lose faith in dharma. So even if you have to do something like this, please don't don the clothes of a renunciate." So this is what happens when ordinary people in this world, and even extraordinary people like Indra, they disguise themselves as mendicants for some ulterior material purpose. But this particular pastime was happening according to Krishna's own desire for fulfilling his own purpose, because he wanted Arjuna to get married to Subhadra. And therefore this whole pastime is unfolding, and in the verses to come in this chapter, we will see eventually how Arjuna marries Subhadra. So we'll stop here, and if there's just one or two questions or comments, you can have it, and we'll go on for prasadam. Yes?
Bhishma actually kidnapped Ambika for somebody else.
Yes.
Is that within the rules, or was it pushing? Bhishma kidnapped Ambika for somebody else. Is that within the rules, or was he actually violating some certain rules?
Or was he pushing the limits too far?
Yeah.
Well, strictly speaking, it's the concerned prince who must do it.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to marry a princess must do it. But it was an extraordinary situation. So Bhishma did that. It was within the realms of Kshatriya conduct, but it was misunderstood. And it was liable to be interpreted in different ways. So when Bhishma came there at the assembly, everybody berated him, said, "You've taken a vow to not marry, so how come you're here? You shouldn't be here. What are you doing here?" He said, "I've not come for myself." So he declared it openly, that "I've come here for my brother. I'm doing this for my brother Vichitravirya." So that matter was clarified. But nevertheless, because he had held the hands of the princess as he abducted them, so, and from one point of view, it was considered that he should have married him, and that was one objection that was raised later. We said no. Of course, nowadays, shaking hands or holding is considered so casual. But previously, in Vedic culture, if a man held a lady's hand, it meant that he was going to marry her. That was how seriously it was taken. Nowadays everybody shakes hands, and you know, it's quite an ordinary thing in the world. So yes, there were issues with that even. People had objections. And ultimately I think it was one of the three sisters, probably Amba, who eventually could get married. She had set her heart on marrying Shalva. And Shalva said, "Bhishma already has touched your hand, so I can't accept you now." She came back to Bhishma, and Bhishma said, "Sorry, I can't marry you because I've taken a vow." And there was a big problem after that. Then she went to Parshuram. She went, so many people, including Parshuram, who was the military guru of Bhishma. And Parshuram told Bhishma, "You have to marry her." He said, "No, I've taken a vow. I can't break my vow." Then there was a big fight between Parshuram and Bhishma. And they were equal. And then the demigods intervened and said, "I think we should rest the matter here. So it can become a big deal. It did become a big deal. So yes, that's generally not the standard. But somebody like Bhishma doing it was quite extraordinary.
But if I may say, did he not have any regard for what his position was and what example he'll be leading to the rest of the world?
Yes, but there was something very critical at stake. The throne of Hastinapur was at stake. There had to be future descendants. Otherwise, who would rule Hastinapur? Who would rule the planet? So therefore he had to, because it was a question of survival of the dynasty. One of the brothers, Chitrangada, had already died. Vichitravirya was sick. So therefore there was a crisis. So in an emergency situation, Brahma had to take recourse to such an extraordinary measure. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. In one of the purports it says that Subhadra was a simple girl and therefore she was looking, continually looking at Arjuna and smiling and like that. But I was thinking that, you know, Subhadra's not a village girl. She grew up in Dwarka and she was in the royal family. I was surprised because I thought she would have been trained, you know, how to restrain her sentiments in the presence of attractive young men.
But that is the nature of this world. She was simple in the sense that she was simple-hearted. Of course, she was brought up in the midst of all the royal opulence of Dwarka, and she was trained, yes. But in matters of the heart, sometimes these things can transcend all the other things. And this was, of course, a transcendental pastime. She's Lakshmi Devi herself. She's not an ordinary, an expansion of Lakshmi Devi rather. This is not an ordinary thing. So this was happening according to the Lord's arrangement. So all right, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Dandaneshwar ki jai. Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.